the cages of greed. Leaving the smell of blood and ash behind us, Stella and I arrived in front of a giant mall.
All right now, what is this supposed to be?
I asked.
Let's go inside,
said Stella.
There is no better way to find out.
We entered. The mall was an elegant piece of architecture. Everything looked pristine and beautiful, from the arches and hallways, to the storefront of each and every shop. Inside of the building, hundreds of women were busy walking around, chatting, and pushing shopping carts full of goods. Some were eating into restaurants or having a good time into tea shops. All around a normal and peaceful scene.
Well, everything seems pretty ordinary to me for now,
I said.
But I know better than to relax in a place like this.
I threw a look at the doll. She seemed to be particularly distraught and had her eyes fixated on the ceiling.
What's going on? I asked.
But as I raised my gaze up to the ceiling of the mall, something unthinkable caught my eyes. Swiftly, I rushed to the upper levels of the mall, running up the elevators and quickly pushing everyone around, not believing what I saw. The doll quickly followed behind me. We both witnessed the unthinkable. Children had been placed into iron cages. They were crying and begging to be released. We saw men begging women to let them see their children. Only after having extorted large amounts of money from them then women would allow such a thing to happen.
What is this abomination?
I asked. Women went past me, carrying bills in their hand, hurrying down the elevators to spend it all on themselves, buying everything they could, shoes, clothes, jewelry, perfumes.
Why don't men try to free their children?
I asked.
There is no door to open,
whispered Stella.
The children are sealed in their cages and the men can only visit them if they pay enough money.
One man caught my attention. He was down on his knees, begging a woman because he lost his job and could not pay any money. He was crying and begging to be allowed to see his child. The woman laughed at him in return and said to their child trapped in the cage, "You see that? Your father ain't shit. Your father doesn't love you. He won't even give me enough money to visit you." From inside his cage, the child was crying a river of tears. "I hate you, father. I hate you. You abandoned me," he said. Under my eyes, a cage materialized around the father, trapping him inside of a cage himself. He screamed he just wanted to die. Then his cage was raised up into the ceiling and disappeared along with his screams. I felt sick. I slowly backed away. Suddenly, the sounds of the mall became 1,000 times stronger. The entire mall turned into a tornado of images, green dollar bills, advertisements glowing, clothes, perfumes, foods and all sorts of short-lived pleasures. But the sights were but a mere breeze compared to the whirlwind of sounds, fathers screaming, children weeping, women laughing, and rattling sounds of chains on iron bars. I dropped to my knees. I was trembling. I began to vomit on the floor. Stella came to me. The doll helped me back up and guided me to a remote hallway. It took a while for me to regain my senses, but when I did, I found that my head was resting on the lap of the doll.
"Thank you,"
I said.
"I wasn't feeling so good all of a sudden."
"It's okay,"
said the doll.
"We went through a lot.
Let's continue."
We went back to the busy alleys.
"Why do the men continue to send money?"
I asked Estella.
"Why don't they just leave?"
"They don't want to lose our kids, I think,"
answered the doll.
"But I don't think that whatever this is supposed to be is working very well either."
We started to walk toward the exit. Before we could leave, however, we encountered an old bald man in the lower level of the mall. He had a full circle of young men around him and was talking to them in an impressive display of volubility. I was attracted by his speech and listened to him for quite some time. When a chance to ask him a question was offered, I jumped on the occasion.
"What do you think about this place?"
I asked him. "This is a terrible injustice," replied the old bald man. "But as a man, it is your responsibility to do all the necessary sacrifices to ensure that society goes on."
"I can't believe it,"
I thought to myself.
"Are all the men who want to trap other men into a life of slavery and misery gathered here?" "What are we supposed to do about it then?"
I asked. "Fight injustice with knowledge, philosophy and morality." I looked around at the women going into a shopping frenzy and then up at the children crying inside of the cages.
"Why don't you just leave?"
"Who will be responsible then? If men are liberated the same way women have been, who will work to maintain society?"
"That society needs to come to an end,"
I answered.
"Your sacrifice is meaningless. Is this what you're sacrificing yourself for?"
I said, showing the meaningless consumption around us. "Your ancestors sacrificed themselves to give you life. Are you going to make their sacrifice null and void with your egoism?"
"They were retarded animals fucking. They didn't sacrifice anything. Men were dumb brutes who went after women for sex and women used sex to extract resources from them. Children have always been the byproduct of two predators abusing one another. There is nothing of value worth preserving there. There has never been. There will never be.
The old bald man looked deep into my eyes and said, "Who hurt you?" I let go of my rage and frustration in a scream. "That's not an argument," he said. I turned around disgusted and left with the doll. "Don't forget to make a donation," said the voice behind us.
"Let's go,"
I said.
"There is nothing left worth saving here."
We left the lights and sounds of the mall behind us.